You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Joining us in the studio in person for not only a korero but a live to air, we have Celtic guitar master Dave Flynn, who is currently embarking on a tour of the South Island, which has included Stewart Island. It also includes Christchurch and Blenheim later in the month. In about 3 or 4 days, he'll be going to Christchurch and Blenheim. But we do have Dave in the studio joining us right now for a chat. Good morning to you, Dave. How are we?
Morning. Great. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's very, very good to have you, my friend. Very, very, very good. You told me that yesterday or the day before you went to Stewart Island.
Yeah.
Which is an absolute treat.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. I was there Saturday. I flew in from Invercargill Airport. I just did a concert on Saturday night in the community centre. It was lovely, really nice people there. And then 2 days of just walking about, exploring and experiencing the native bird life, particularly. I even saw a kiwi in the daylight, which was amazing, over on Ulva Island. And just a brilliant experience. I was doing some recording of bird song as well. It inspires some of my compositions sometimes. Actually, I have to thank Southland District Council with a Creative Communities grant, kind of helped me undertake that concert and do the research and to inspire new compositions and all that.
Do you do a lot of field work? I feel like I've read somewhere that you do some field recordings.
Yeah, really mainly bird song, and it's ever since I first came here to New Zealand, because it's like, the birds in New Zealand have these incredible songs and sounds that I never heard anywhere else. I didn't really notice bird song particularly before I first came here. And then, you know, my first hearing a tui in Auckland for the first time, I was like, I thought somebody had an R2-D2 toy, you know. I was like looking around, and then that started me off on the journey. But there's some beautiful, beautiful bird song here.
The bird I'm going to be talking about might not necessarily have the most beautiful sound, but have you seen a lyre bird from over in Australia?
A lyre bird?
Yeah.
I haven't actually, no.
They can basically recreate any noise.
Oh, my.
And they like to recreate like construction noises, or like phone ringtones, or people talking. It's really spooky.
My sister actually told me about them. She lives in Gold Coast, so.
All right. Cool. Well, you're a Celtic guitar master, I read. How does one become a guitar master?
Oh, just lots of practice, dedication. I think, being honest, I think a bit of natural, there must be some natural talent there as well to, because, you know, I've taught a fair bit, and some people just have something and some people don't, you know, it's like, and so I think I'm lucky that I had some kind of natural talent for it, because I wasn't sent to guitar lessons when I was young. I kind of taught myself. I had a few, learned the basics from a really kind teacher in my primary school. Alistair McNeil was his name. But then I gave it up for a while, and I got into, in my teens, I got into rock music, heavy metal even.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the vibe, the heavy metal you were listening to, like Black Sabbath?
Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, like we're talking late 80s, early 90s here.
Was Judas Priest a thing?
Oh, yeah. I had...
I've been going for ages.
Yeah. What was there? Painkiller, yeah, that was the album. I remember when it came out, you know. And so that, like, it started me off. But within that kind of music, there's influences from classical and folk music. And then being in Ireland, you're around, you hear Irish folk music all the time. My mum would have had records by bands like The Chieftains and Planxty, well-known Irish folk groups. And so I was exposed to it, and then gradually, as I got a bit more mature, shall we say, I got into it, and so I transferred my rock guitar skills to Celtic music. Like even Thin Lizzy, you know, Thin Lizzy were heavily influenced by Celtic.
That's
music.
Nuts.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Then, like, you know, I just went into exploring it, and really, actually, the best tip I ever got to become good at Irish music on guitar was to learn the fiddle from a fiddle player. And
what's the link there? What makes learning the fiddle good at guitar?
The fiddle is one of the prime instruments in Irish traditional music. It's one of the lead instruments, whereas guitar tends to be a backing instrument or even not used at all. It's not a, shall we say, traditional instrument. It's like only in the past 100 years or so it's been used in any kind of serious way. So learning the fiddle, you learn some of the really essential techniques. And so then I transferred that to guitar. Even tuning, I tune my guitar a bit like a fiddle to recreate some of those fiddle-like sounds. Like I can like there's a thing called a cran, which is like a gurgling note. And there's all sorts of a, that's a thing called a treble, and that's a thing called a roll, and there's they're called cuts, and all that comes from kind of fiddle playing and piping, Irish piping.
I see what you mean now. Well, should we get this show on the road? You've got a few tracks to play for us. What's the first one you're going to play, and is it from this album that I hold in my hands that is turning 20 years old?
Well, it isn't actually.
Oh, sure.
No, I probably should be, but that album is Dreacht that I'm celebrating the 20th anniversary of. But no, I thought I'd play a piece that I composed here in New Zealand to start with. It's called The Journey, which is quite appropriate because I've had quite a journey to get here. I composed it between on a journey between Kaikoura and Christchurch a few years ago.
Oh, lovely bit of road there.
It was just the feeling of being on the road in New Zealand inspired this kind of this tune.
Oh, well, here is Dave Flynn with The Journey. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked. We're doing a live to ear. Let's hear it. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Dave Flynn with The Journey. We're having a chat with Dave about his South Island tour coming over to New Zealand for at least the second time. Are you just doing a South Island tour? No North Island?
I already did a few North Island dates, but it was with a trio I have, a new trio called Flynn's Celtic Strings, and we did a few North Island dates. I was supposed to have a concert in Paikakariki, actually, but I had to postponed that for there was a death in the family, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But there were a few North Island dates in February there, around Valentine's Day. Even in Rotorua, we had a packed crowd in the Shambles Theatre there on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. That's so sweet. If you had to choose one, which would you go for, South or North Island? I won't hate you if you choose North Island.
Stewart Island.
I like it. Straight down the middle. Now, recently, I think it was last week actually, we had St. Patrick's Day,
yeah.
Which has, you know, become a huge celebration for a lot of the students here. They use it as a great excuse to go out and get absolutely wasted.
Yeah.
as one is wont to do, I guess. But what does the St. Patrick's Day celebrations look like back home in Ireland?
Yeah, well, it's our national day. It's the biggest day of the year in terms of celebrating Irish culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's parades all over the country. You know, there's the main one in Dublin, a huge St. Patrick's Day parade, and they always have some celebrity is the leading the parade. I think they've had some very famous people as the leader of the parade, and like, yeah, there's a lot of drinking goes on, obviously. But there's a lot of music all over the place. And also, like the politicians, they all spread themselves across the world. All the ministers of Ireland go across the world to promote Irish culture during this time.
Mm.
Like, there'll be some minister in New Zealand at the moment doing all these meetings. And then, I don't know, it's a funny old thing because, you know, I'd say it probably began as a religious thing because St. Patrick and the Catholic Church back in the day, Ireland was pretty much ruled by the Catholic Church. So it's not so much anymore. So I suppose the religious aspect of it isn't really thought about much, except for people who are religious, I suppose. But it's definitely like... but it's quite different to, say, what I've seen of what goes on in America. You know, the Simpsons parodied it a bit, like you're saying, with the students here, like everyone just getting absolutely wasted and all that. It's actually in Ireland, it's a big family day as well. Like, I remember as a kid being brought to the St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin, and it was really exciting. You know, all these floats going about and very creative kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun, you know. I wasn't even thinking of alcohol when I was a kid. And my parents wouldn't have been getting wasted or anything like that, but for musicians it's a huge month. Like tours around the world are put on in March of Irish music. It seems to be Irish month in a way. It's kind of unfortunate, I think, because it kind of, instead of Irish culture and Celtic culture be celebrated throughout the year, a lot gets packed into the month of March. And it kind of, if you're not in, you don't win, that kind of thing. Like in America, like at the moment, five or six of the top Irish Celtic trad bands are touring, and they do that every year. Like the month of March, they're over there in America, you know, just and they kind of have to it brings in a good chunk of the income for their year, I'd say.
It's a very condensed time period.
It's
a very, very short window.
Yeah, yeah.
To do as much as possible. The Americans still go crazy with St. Patrick's Day. In Chicago, like, dyeing the whole river green.
Yeah, I think nuts. The Americans are kind of more into it, I'd say, than the Irish in a way, you know. And they call it St. Patty's Day.
St. Patty's Day. I love St. Patty's Day.
Which we never call it that.
We call it St. Patty's as well, unfortunately. It's not very accurate.
Patties rather than patties. I don't know. In America, they say patty.
Oh, they say patties.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Patty's Day is fine, you know.
We've got another song, Locked in the Chamber, I assume. What have you got for us now?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd play a Scottish tune. See, so I'm doing a Celtic guitar master, so it's not just Irish stuff.
No.
And there's a real connection between Ireland and Scotland.
And this is a very Scottish city.
It's founded by Scottish people. Yeah, of course, Dunedin.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a... But it's a tune that I learnt thinking it was Irish, Red is the Rose, an Irish song. But I was playing it there a few weeks ago in a friend's house. I was out in the deck. Maureen's her name. And she was in the kitchen, and she's of Scottish heritage. And I was playing it, and she started humming along to it, you know, the melody. And then afterwards, she said, "Oh, I love that. That's Loch Lomond." the Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond. And I was like, what? And she was like, oh yeah, it's a Scottish song. And I looked into it, and it's a much, it's a, an originally a Scottish song, you know.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Maureen passed away 2 weeks later. So, yeah, I just want to dedicate this performance to her memory of that.
And the song was called Red as the Rose?
Well, it's Loch Lomond.
Loch Lomond.
Yeah, because I'm doing an instrumental version without. Yeah. So you can, this is a nice way of thinking of being the Irish or the Scottish version, just the melody in the original. Kind of, it's a very ancient air.
Awesome. Well, here's Dave Flynn with Loch Lomond. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked. Here's Loch Lomond. Was Dave Flynn with Loch Lomond. You are listening to The One. It's 10:32, and man, that was a gorgeous song. I feel like I can hear some Nick Drake, some kind of Leonard Cohen in there. Oh. You know, there's some very familiar melodies.
It's funny you say Leonard Cohen, because Maureen knew Leonard Cohen.
Really?
Her daughter is partner of Leonard's son.
Wow!
So they share a grandson, Cassius. Maureen's grandson, Cassius. And
what a connection.
Cassius was playing this guitar only a week or so ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's a lovely guy. You should check out Cassius Cohen's music, actually. He's got a few pieces out there on Spotify and that.
We'll play some later. I read that you were the inventor of the Memory Orchestra. Where it's an orchestra that memorizes its parts. There's no sheet music involved. One thing that I wondered was, how does the role of conductor work in that? Because do they have to remember more than the musicians to be able to guide them into what sounds right?
Yeah, I mean, like, a conductor generally has to know the entire score. But with the Memory Orchestra, it's more complex as well, because I remember the first gig we did, sometimes I conducted, but one of my best friends, Bjorn Bantok, who's originally from South Africa, kind of grew up in England, he came over from England to Ireland to play it, or to conduct the orchestra. And so when he heard, you know, he memorized the score, he looked at the score, he saw all the instruments, and then the first rehearsal, he was kind of like looking around going, what's going on? Because he said it to me, he's got a big personality, and he said, he's like, Dave, I looked at the score, I put down the first downbeat, and then nobody was playing anything that was in front of me. And basically, that wasn't that they were playing mistakes, it's just that in Irish music, there's a lot of kind of subtle improvising, shall we say, and but also like our drummer is a jazz drummer, so like I just had a basic thing written out for him and he was going doing his thing. So for someone like Bjorn coming from a purely classically trained thing where everything that's on the score is what you're going to hear, he was like, what's going on? And so that's a key thing in Irish music. And so yeah, the conductor needs to be a bit more flexible than conducting a standard classical orchestra. They need to be aware, firstly, that all the musicians are have the music memorized. Some of them don't actually read music particularly well or at all. You know, some like I do the music in a way that it can be learnt by ear as well. And even some of our musicians have been blind or visually impaired in some of our projects. I did a piece called The Vision Symphony, a symphony I composed, and we had a choir and a few musicians who were either blind or visually impaired who joined us. And that was one of the beauty of having the memory orchestra, is people who would usually be excluded from an orchestra because they can't sight read can be included in that kind of a project.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the orchestra, are you doing like, you know, traditional classical songs, or are you doing more Irish tunes?
It's mostly original stuff that I compose. Stuff that I compose, but in a, it's kind of mixing the Celtic Irish tradition with classical and a bit of jazz and some African influences as well. We've a Congolese guitarist is one of our members at the orchestra. He lives in Ireland, Noel Tumbu, who's one of the best guitarists I've ever met. You know,
well, guitar comes from Africa, doesn't it?
And some of my favourite guitar music comes from Africa too. There's that mix. But we do the odd, sometimes we'll do, like I have a version of Bolero, Ravel's Bolero, which I arrange with the Irish instruments in it. Because the orchestra, it has traditional Irish instruments like the Illum pipes, our national bagpipe, and the Irish harp and tin whistle, concertina, alongside things you might see here in the Dunedin Symphony Orchestra, like the double bass or timpani and trombone and all that kind of stuff. It's a very interesting mix.
That's so cool, man. Do you have one last final song you'd like to play for us?
Yeah, I thought I'll give this a go now. It might be a bit early for me to be getting this off, but it's a kind of a fusion. We're talking about fusion. This is like a fusion between Irish and flamenco. Spanish flamenco. A few years ago, I learnt a bit of flamenco in Cadiz, in Andalusia. And last year, I was learning this tune by a guy called Paddy Fahey, who would be my favourite Irish composer of traditional tunes. And he just died a few years ago, aged 102.
Wow.
I was learning this reel and I noticed the kind of progression in it was similar to the harmony you could put onto it was similar to flamenco, a kind of a classic flamenco chord progression. So I'm fusing the two. I call this Fahey's Flamenco.
Fahey's Flamenco. Alrighty, take it away. Here's Dave Flynn with Fahey's Flamenco. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked. Thank you. Incredible stuff. I love watching those them fingers move. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Dave. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah. And thanks, and hope to see people come along to Pioneer Hall in Port Chalmers tomorrow.
7:30 p.m. It's all ages. You can find tickets from eventfind.co.nz. Do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Oh, just that I love it here in Dunedin. I should say one of my influences, particularly on the first track I played, is The Bats here.
Oh, Bats. They just played last week.
I was there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
I did. It was brilliant, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm glad to know them, actually. I've met and I've enjoyed. Actually, last time I played in Dunedin at the Folk Club, Robert Scott joined me for a few tunes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so they're great people. And Christchurch Dunedin Band, we'll call them, because three of them yeah. are from Christchurch. But and so the Dunedin Sound Flying Nun Records are an influence on me.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool. Well, I'm very, very happy to have you here, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Zach.
Cheers. Folks, that was Dave Flynn, who is playing at Port Chalmers Pioneer Hall tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. It's an all-ages show. You can find tickets from eventfinder.co.nz.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.